Making the world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. All right.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right. Okay, the George Wilder Jr. Show is back on the air after a three-day hiatus. We're only on 4 days a week, folks, Monday through Thursday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we take the time off. You know, I got other things to do. I have a life. I have a family. And I need time off to basically write. I love to write and stuff like that and produce material and publish it so you can go and buy it and enjoy it, you know. Anyway, the George Wilder Jr. Show is back on the air. We're starting a brand new week. My guest is Kelly Brown. Well, it's great to have a guest on the show with a normal name, sounding name. But you know what? I love all my guests, no matter what their names are. And we have the remainder of the month is we're all booked up. We're all booked up. We're going to start, at least I'm going to start booking probably later on this week, or no doubt about it, the end of next week. So we can make sure that we are booked up for June. Yeah, June. This is May and June. Yeah. And it's beautiful outside. It's a little dull. It's cold. It is very, very cold for spring in the city of Chicago, and I'm hearing other places around the country also, it is very, very cold. Damn. I mean, you know, this is May 8th, and it should be at least feeling like spring, but it isn't. I mean, you go out to the ballpark, you're gonna freeze your ass off. And a lot of people have, you know, and they're wondering, hey, where's spring? It hasn't sprung. I have not seen it. And I'm pretty sure some people around the country who they haven't seen it either. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what the hell's going on, but we have not seen spring. But this is not the first time for Chicago and you know, a season being bypassed, and then, you know, suddenly summer is here. No spring, winter, then straight to summer, you know, mild weather, unseasonable weather, and then straight. Oh, wow, it's 90 degrees. Yesterday it was 30, 40. Now it's 90, you know, so it goes from one extreme to the next in the city of Chicago. That's one of the reasons why they call it the Windy City, the unpredictability of the weather, man, of the weather. And I want to thank a lot of the people who, yes, today is my birthday. Thank you. I want to thank everybody for wishing me happy birthday. If you're listening to the show, and I hope you are. And thank you for those thoughts. You know, I mean, it meant a lot to me. I mean, I've got so many birthday wishes on social media and places that it just overwhelmed me. You know, it just overwhelmed me. And I was actually floored by all the birthday greetings online. Seriously. I mean, I wasn't expecting it. I thought I'd get a few. I didn't know that I'd get thousands and thousands. And, you know, it's totally overwhelming. And probably the best birthday I've ever had in terms of friends on social media. And some people say, well, social media, you gotta be having, no. When people are wishing you happy birthday, it doesn't matter where it's coming from. It's from their heart. And that's where I look at it. It's from their heart. And I appreciate everybody who have, wished me happy birthday, sent me gifts, prizes, birthday presents, a cake, a couple of cakes, few cakes, virtually that is, but, it's just overwhelming. And I want to thank everybody. I don't want to dwell on my birthday on the show. There's so many other things more important that can be talked about. All right. Author Kelly Brown on the George Wilder Jr. Show and more on the George Wilder Jr. Shows. Follow me on Facebook. We are now on the air. Follow me on LinkedIn, Google. I'm all over the place, folks. The only way to lose an argument is not to learn from it. That's some good advice. Great advice from the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. And folks, we've had another mass shooting in the city of Chicago over the weekend. The weekends are just, just outrageous in the city of Chicago, especially on the north and west sides of the city. They are just 2 dead, 8 people wounded. That's 10 people shot over the weekend. And once again, the superintendent is saying a lot of the things he needs to say to keep his job, saying a lot of things to keep the people, the citizens of Chicago, off his ass, because he and the mayor, his boss, cannot come up with any kind of way, any kind of plan or solution to protect the people of this city, the people who pay them. And they come up with all kinds of excuses, and yet people are dropping dead like flies on the north side and the west sides of the city. I'm not on the north side. I'm on the north side, okay? On the west and south sides of the city. This is where most of the carnage, the damage is being done in terms of shootings. And one of the things I know about Chicago, when it gets about 10:30, or 11 o'clock, it's like a ghost town. People are off the streets. Can you blame them? People are off the streets around 10:30. And I'm not talking about curfew. I'm talking about adults, people who are usually out and about on the lakefront. I mean, this in the park, playing golf or whatever, enjoying the evenings. Shit, man, they're in the house. And can you blame them? But you got some people who braves it through it all. But basically, it's a ghost town, especially on the north side. I mean, I around 10:30, 11 o'clock, man, we're looking out of the window. Hey, where's everybody? Looking out onto the avenue. Even motorists, people who are driving cars. I mean, they know when not to drive, and it's not any kind of an amusement, but it's just sad that the people we elect to protect us just don't give a damn about protecting us. I believe that with this administration in the city of Chicago, I don't think they give a damn about protecting us. I think they've given up on it. They just can't seem to get a handle on it, and they give up on it. I'm not listening to any of those excuses that they're giving or any of those wasteful talks or lectures that this guy tried to give us after there's been a massacre in the city of Chicago. I'm not listening to that. I don't care what he's saying or how he's saying it. I haven't seen any results coming from him getting a six-figure salary to preserve and protect the people of this city. I haven't seen any of it. I haven't seen any results. He can talk all he wants. Well, It's the ex-offenders getting out of jail too early and going back to doing what they was doing at first that got them put in jail. Well, that's an excuse. You know, well, you know, if somebody shoot a police officer, then who else would you, do you think they're a shoot? That's an excuse. That's nothing. Tell us how you are going to solve these shootings in the city of Chicago. How are you going to bring these guys to justice? How are you going to stop this? How are you going to prevent this? How are you going to get on top of it the moment it happens? Nothing. Nothing. And if they have had any kind of plans like this, they've failed. I've said this 1,000 times on the show. New York, Los Angeles combined have a lower rate of homicide statistics than Chicago does. And I've said this before. These guys ought to learn from some of these, a lot of these cities that do not have the crime rate that the Chicago has. I don't know if they're learning from it or if they're adopting it, which they should. I'm just fed up with it. I think we need a change of leadership. I think we need a new superintendent. We need a new governor. We need a new mayor. Somebody who knows how to solve the crime problem in the city of Chicago. This guy doesn't. I think the mayor's looking the other way on this stuff. He's grown immune to it. If he hasn't been already, it seems as though he's grown immune to this. Well, another kid got shot in the head. What the hell? Let's go over here and build this library. I just think they're immune to it. I always say, for the mayor and the superintendent to put crime at the top of the list. I don't think these guys make crime their first and only priority in the city of Chicago. If you can't stop people from dying in the city of Chicago and people are constantly getting shot, what else matters? What else matters? But they'll find something that matters that take precedence over crime in the city of Chicago. And I think that's just wrong. People are dying. People are scared to death of walking down the street. People are afraid to go to the store or walk to the park or just hang out on their front steps or in front of their homes, apartment buildings, because they're afraid somebody's going to drive by or walk up and shoot them. And you can't keep blaming parenting. You can't keep blaming that the judicial system is letting these guys out of prison early, which has valid, but you have to do your job, period. You have to find a way of doing your job and stop blaming others and stop spinning and stop lying and stop, you know, rushing to the cameras every time three or four people get shot and try to say, well, we're doing our jobs. You're not doing your jobs if people are afraid to walk down the street. You're not doing your jobs if there's 10, 20, 30 shootings in one night. You're not doing your job if you're not patrolling and protecting some of these high crime areas 24/7. You're not doing your job. You're getting paid for nothing. You're just drawing a paycheck. And we, the people of the city of Chicago, as far as I'm concerned, we don't see any results. None. And I've said this 1,000 times. As long as you don't make crime in the city of Chicago your first priority, nothing's going to happen. It's not going to go anywhere but up. The statistics for 2017 is a lot higher from 2016. And this is the fifth month so far. And leading up to 5 months last year, 2016, oh man, the city of Chicago has surpassed shootings and murders since then. Now, if crime is constantly going up, more shootings, more people dying, that means that these guys aren't doing their job. They're not doing their job. They're going to lie and spin it as if they are doing it, you know, and they're not. They're not doing their jobs. And I've said this several times before. Whenever there's a shooting in these high crime areas in the city of Chicago, whenever there's a shooting, I mean, you see lots of police officers after the shooting. You see lots of them standing around doing nothing. Where were they before the shooting? If they were there standing around like that before the shooting, this probably would not have happened. Every time there's a shooting of three or four people or more, you see police officers standing around the neighborhood, standing in the streets, standing all over the place, and the patrol cars, paddy wagons, squad cars are everywhere. Detectives, patrolmen. I mean, you got people. They're just standing around. They're standing around, I guess, what they're calling the crime scene or whatever, or just around in the area. The police are everywhere. They are saturating the area after a mass shooting. They're saturating the area. They're everywhere. Every time you turn around, you see a police officer. But my question is, like before, where were all of these damn police officers before this took place? If they'd have been standing around like that, hanging around like that, I guarantee you there would have been no shootings. The police do not make themselves shown until after the crime, until after the homicide, until after the deed has been done and people are dead. It's just not. And these guys, these police officers, they make good money, great money. For what? Why? To put on a uniform, to carry a gun, to walk around and just, you know, why? When all the carnage and all of this blood is spilled on the streets of Chicago, and after the blood is spilled, you see 100 cops. Where were you before this happened? That's my thing. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I would like to know. People are dying, dropping dead like flies from bullets. I mean, the bad guys are going to be the bad guys. They're going to shoot. They're going to steal. They're going to, you know, whatever. The bad guys, they're going to burglarize. The bad guys are going to be the bad guys. They're going to rob. They are going to be the bad guys. The police has to realize this. You know, you're never going to eradicate crime completely, because there's always some nut, some fool, ignorant ass is going to go out here and do something bad. These things should be participated by the police officers and law enforcement in general. And I'm not just talking about Chicago. It could be any municipality that I'm talking about, not just Chicago. You know, anywhere where there's the crime rate is, you know, just through the roof. And this can be, you know, I've said this a million times. You need solutions, you need plans, and you need results. Things we are not getting from this administration. Oh man, things we're not getting from this administration, things we're not getting from the mayor. I mean, you know, the governor. Yeah, he has some skin in this too. He's the governor, and a lot of these politicians. One of the things in their job resume is to protect the people of their state, of their city, of their county. You have to protect these people. You don't protect the people. What are you good for? Raising taxes? Lying to the people? What are you good for? You really, really, we really got to elect some people, folks. I mean, we got to elect people who are going to do something. And I've said this before, do not go out and vote for somebody because they have a good sounding name, or they're cute, or they look good, they're handsome, and they sound good, and they sound like they're going to do everything for you. Don't do that. Politicians are like the politicians of the old days. They lie. They lie like dogs. Lie. And it's not all Republicans. Some Democrats, politicians, they lie too. You know, so you really have to do your own individual vetting of these politicians. I mean, go into their background, find out what the hell they've done. Just don't vote for somebody because they said they're running for office. And you pissed off at the incumbent, and you pissed off at the person that's already in office, and somebody come along, hey, I'm going to run. All right, I'm going to vote for you. That's dumb. Check these people out. Just like you may have gone to find employment, they're going to look into your background before they hire you. And that's the same thing you should do. Before you hire any politician, look into their background. Research what they've done, who they are, and what they've been through. You don't want to put someone in office with a felony. You want to vet these people. You want to check their backgrounds out. Do your homework on these politicians. Because they are some of these politicians, not all of them. You got some honest ones in there, but seem like the honest politicians in Washington, in Congress, are weak. The strong ones are the lousy ones, the Republicans in Congress. I mean, you got some great Republicans out here on Main Street. But I'm just saying in Congress, these guys in Congress got to go. I mean, they really got to go. I mean, they are not only hurting us, but they're hurting their own constituency. They're hurting their own voters. They are hurting their own constituency, their own voters with this healthcare thing. And it's from what I'm hearing is that it's going to this bill that was passed, rushed through and passed by the Republicans in the House. It's going to be revised. The Senate is going to rewrite it and revise it. It may, rewrite it and revise it to the disliking of Paul Ryan and Donald Trump. You know, so they are really, really watching this. They're probably really, really skeptical of the Senate version of this healthcare bill. You know, I don't care if this healthcare bill, Trump cares. Now Trump care. Okay, it's no more. Well, it's still Obamacare, but once after the Republicans get done with it, it's going to be Trump care, regardless. Or unless they decide to leave it alone and not to mess with it. Remember, folks, even though the bill has passed the House of Representatives, it is still enforced. You can still use it. It is still Obamacare. It is still called Obamacare, and it is still, you can still, whatever you've been getting for it in the last 2 or 3 years, you can still be getting it now until we see what the Senate is going to do. They may just leave it alone. If it's left alone and they don't vote on it, it's going to be Obamacare, and it will be the law of the land once again. But if the Senate decides to revise it and they pass that revision, then it becomes, I believe. So we just have to keep an eye on it. And 2018, folks, vote these guys out. I mean, you have to do something with these Republicans in Congress who are aiding and abetting Donald Trump. Because if that had been any other president, he would have been impeached or sanctioned or something for his wrongdoings. Trump has got criminal thug impeachment written all over his face. You know, it's all there. It's just that the Republicans are aiding and abetting. They are putting up with Trump. If that was a Democrat, we would still be looking at a 8-8 Supreme Court. We would probably be looking at a criminal conviction and impeachment of a Democratic president if this was a Democratic president instead of a Republican president, because the Republicans were relentless. I mean, they were relentless on Hillary Clinton. Yet they just look over Trump. They just look over him, look past him, and pass every lunatic thing that he wants. They're aiding and abetting him. Or they could be using him. I've heard that they could be using Trump to get their agenda through Congress. That could be. And then after they get through using him, they're going to impeach him. You know, so regardless of what the hell's happening in Washington pertaining to Trump and his crimes, we have a midterm election coming up in November 18. We can wipe the slate clean of these racists and haters and just all around unfit people to be in Congress and the White House. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that happy birthday wish. I do appreciate it. I appreciate it. Appreciate them all because that's just the way I am, you know. All right, we're going to take a break right here with this break music. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I want to talk about staying young, keeping young, keeping fit, no matter what age you are. I hear it so many times where people are saying, well, I'm too old for this, I'm too old for that. You know, my bones ache, my knees ache, my back ache. I got something for you. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio, Instagram, Twitter. I'm all over the place, folks. I'm there. And, you know, it's fun. It's an enjoyment. So I'm going to talk about that a little later on in the show. All right, let's go to here. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Kelly Brown, Attorney Kelly Brown.
Hi, Kelly Brown. Thanks for Attorney Kelly Brown. Thanks for doing the show. And I see. Let me grab my calendar here, because that's okay. You're gonna be talking about addiction issues.
Yes, sir. First, I'd like to say happy birthday. But yes, I'm going to talk about estate planning when you have an addicted family member.
Okay, give my audience a little bit of your bio and tell us. You know, and then try to explain what you do.
Sure. I've been practicing law for over 20 years. I have a master's degree in estate tax. I practice law primarily in Kentucky, but I'm also licensed in Ohio and Tennessee. Been practicing just in the area of estate planning and probate. So I draft wills and trusts and handle estates when people die. In the last several years, I've noticed, particularly in the Louisville area, which is where I am, that there's an epidemic that's striking families, and it's not just the person who suffers from addiction. Addiction is a family problem. It's cousins, it's sisters and brothers, it's everybody. And I would do the speeches. I go around and do speeches. I've three times chaired the trust and estate section of the Kentucky Bar. It's very important to me that I educate the public about basic estate planning, because a lot of people are very afraid of probate, of wills. They don't want to think about it. These are difficult issues. So I give these speeches all around to try to educate people so they can make really good decisions. And I've noticed that there were a lot of moms and dads and sisters and brothers who would raise their hand and ask me questions about what to do about this addicted person and their family and their loved one. And I also started having these probates where someone would die without a will, and we would hand over literally fistfuls of cash to somebody who was addicted and who was going to self-harm with the money. So I decided that I would write this book, Estate Planning When You Have an Addicted Child, to attempt to educate people about powers of attorney, living will directives, what you can do easily in estate planning that doesn't cost a fortune, that you can figure out what works best for your family. And I've done that, and it's been well received and super fun. And I want to educate people so that they don't have to be afraid to contact a lawyer or to make good decisions. And it is a control issue for mom and dad. It is something they can do. And I'm so pleased to be on your show and to talk to your listeners about this difficult but necessary topic.
I totally agree with you. I think it's very, very important. I think it's a wonderful what you do, and I applaud what you do, because there are so many people that I've been hearing about lately that have been overdosing on this type of drug, on that type of drug. And I've been hearing so much about people dying without a will. And that's one of the things I think people should think about doing, especially, you know, because we're getting our house together, because we're all going to die. And and you are all about that.
I am. Whenever I give a speech, the first thing I do a PowerPoint presentation, and I say, "You're all going to die. I'm sorry." One funny story is I have two children, Henry and Maddie. And when Henry was in preschool, they sent around a form that said, "What's your special mommy skill? Can you come to the preschool and talk to the kids?" And I almost wrote in there, I will talk about it. I will have a speech that's entitled "Eventually Everyone You Know Will Die." And I didn't get picked to come to the, that's a joke, but, you know, it's just something that we all have to face. And if you've ever been in charge of an estate where there wasn't any planning or someone died without a will, you know, it is chaos. Who gets what, who's in charge, you know, whether or not you have to post a bond, it's super expensive, and then add an addicted person to the mix. And it's just, it's trouble. It's a great gift that parents can give to their children to actually sit down and write a will.
Wow. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you even got some adults well into their 50s, 60s and 80s. They don't even have a will. How do you persuade those people to get a will?
Well, you know, I get so many emergency calls where someone says, my mom is very elderly and she's in the hospital. Can you come and do a will? I mean, you know, they in Kentucky, at least, and in other states, if you don't have your documents in order, there's a mechanism that's in place that comes to pass. So, for example, if I don't have a power of attorney and I don't have anyone to handle my finances, I don't have a living will. There's no one to answer my health care issues. Yeah. The state can come in. Someone has to file for a guardianship. It's a court proceeding. There are lawyers appointed. It's a big, hairy deal when you could have just taken care of it in advance. A lot of times people come in, the horse has left the gate, and it's too late for me to do anything.
Yeah. And I tell people that too. Whatever you do, prepare a will for yourself and for your family. And I've had people on the show say, well, I'm not going to leave any kind of inheritance to my children because I don't think they deserve it. So I said, but still do a will, whatever.
Well, what people often say to me is, I don't have anything. Well, really? Do you not have a house, a bank account, a life insurance? Or you have something.
Yeah. You have something,
my creditors
right.
are going to get everything. Not necessarily. Yeah, you have something.
Yeah, you have something. And, and you know, I because reason why I'm talking about a will, a living will, because I've recently done one. I had put it off. I mean, it's just something you just put off. And eventually, you know, it'll come to fruition that you have to do it, because you start thinking about your own mortality and you look around at your kids, you look around at what you have and what you don't have, you know, and you say, hey, well, I got to get this done.
Yeah, and you have to choose the right people. If you have an adult child who's struggling with addiction, they are not the proper candidate to handle your finances if you become incapacitated. Just not.
No.
It's so harmful for their siblings, the ones who are not addicted, when there's no planning, because they've been through a lot. And then the addicted person as well, but the whole family, it's just a heartbreaking situation, and they really struggle, and this is a way to make it easier. It really is.
Yeah, let's talk about your book. Tell us about your book.
So estate planning, when you have an addicted child, it's designed so it sort of walks you through what you need to know. Even a person with a modest estate needs estate planning. So it just covers the basics of the documents, powers of attorneys, living will, last will and testaments. And then it gets a little bit more complicated and talks about trusts. So for those people with some wealth, it's possible to develop a trust. I have some clients who come in, they have quite a bit of money, they have an addicted child, and they're concerned about food, shelter, and clothing, but they don't want that child to have access to the big money. So I talk about trusts, I talk about disinheritance as an option, or restricting personal property. If your kid is going to take your wedding ring and hawk it, then you should provide a mechanism where they don't have that opportunity. I talk about naming the right people. What is an executor? What is a healthcare surrogate? What is an attorney, in fact? All those sorts of things. I talk about how to hire an attorney and what to look for. You know, if your attorney does DUI, I do not think that that's the proper person to do estate planning. I don't think that the proper person to do estate planning is someone's going to charge you, you know, $50,000 for a will either. There are attorneys are just like everybody else. There's good ones and bad ones. And there are resources that are available to you to find out who's your good match. And then I put in my own questionnaires that I use in my practice.
I totally agree with you. And I think everybody would probably get something out of this book. What has the reaction been to this book? How's the reaction been to this book?
Well, it's been super. It's been really fun for me. I've been pretty much sitting in my office for these 21 years. I do some estate litigation, but probate and estate planning, it's provided me with the entree to really get out there and talk about this issue. So for me, what I've learned in the practice is people come for estate planning a lot when they have specific issues, an addicted child, those sorts of things, blended families, those sorts of things. So my goal is to write one book for the next 9 years, so 10 years total, this one coming out in 2017, about specific issues for estate planning so that those with specific needs can learn more. But it's been great, the opportunity that it's provided to me to get out and provide this information. Like I said, I'm licensed to practice in 3 states, but this book is designed for all Americans to just learn more about the estate planning process, not to necessarily come to Kelly Brown, but to just learn what they need to know to make good choices.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's not about you. It's just, you just want people in general to just read this book and decide for themselves.
Yes. Yeah, making good choices. Okay. One thing I want to point out too is, a lot of times grandparents are raising grandchildren, those children of addicted, their addicted child. And it's really important that you do a will so that your addicted child, who's not living in the house, not taking care of their kids, not participating in society, if you don't do a will, it's possible that they would get handed that fistful of money. Even $2,000 can be harmful. More and more is just, you know, lopping it on. And these poor grandparents that are dedicating their lives and giving so much to raising these children, you know, do those grandchildren a favor, place the money in a safe account. a lot of times I'll have people say to me, Kelly, I have a $50,000 life insurance policy, but I've named my sister as the beneficiary and she'll take care of my kids. Let's assume the sister gets the money and then she has a brain aneurysm or she marries somebody horrible. You need to vest in those grandchildren the ability to have those resources, and estate planning is the way to do it.
Yeah. Kelly Brown on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Where can we find your book, and can you give us a website for people to go to check it out a little bit further?
Sure. It's on Amazon.com, and my name is Kelly, K-E-L-L-I, middle initial E, and Brown spelled just like the color, but it's available on Amazon.
Yeah, when I first saw your name, I'm saying, wow, ordinary common name for once, you know, because I get a lot of people on the show, I could barely pronounce their names, you know. And that's great. That's great. That's wonderful. And Kelly Brown, I want to thank you for being on the show. Hey, would you like a link to this program right here? Maybe you can put it on your website. People can come by there and listen to you talking all about probate and stuff like that. And, you know, you can just have it up there. All right. I want to thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for your show.
No problem.
My family's been listening to you, and it's been really fun.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. All right, Kelly Brown on the George Wilder Jr. Show. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Let's see, what can we do here? Keith on Trump.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. Trump has promised a news conference Wednesday. I'll believe it when I see it. He has every reason to cancel it or simply ignore his promise. The trick worked with the news conference about his wife's reported immigration irregularities. The trick worked with the news conference he scheduled for December 15th to address his potential business conflicts of interest. The trick worked when he promised for last Tuesday or Wednesday revelations about Russia's hacking of the election. Of course, Trump has broken his promise. It's a Trump promise.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away, but we have to get out here and fight the good fight, you know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently, so let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently. Once again, I want to thank Kelly Brown for being on the show. She's very informative. She's very bright. She's very smart. And I do appreciate what she's doing, and I'm glad that she was on the show. And I want to thank her once again. And I want to thank her for saying happy birthday. Happy birthday, George. Okay, I was alluding to earlier in the show, I was alluding to staying young. Because there was, I'm on Facebook, and someone sent me a Facebook post saying that they were tired and rugged and knees ached and head ache, back ache, pain. Pain was everywhere. And, you know, you have these people out here, 80, 85 years old, running marathons. And there's so many people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and 70s. They're claiming their knees ache, their back ache, pain is everywhere. It doesn't have to be, folks, no matter what age you are. It's a guy who lives in my neighborhood right here in Edgewater in Chicago. In this neighborhood particularly, this guy is about 80, 85 years old. I've been seeing him ever since I've been living in this area, and it's been about 25 to 30 years that I've been living over here. And this old guy, I mean, he's skinny as a rail, but he he runs every day, and he runs in marathons. He runs in marathons. I don't know if he wins them or not, but he could. I don't know. He comes close, but he's never, ever stopped running, and this guy doesn't have pain the first. I guess what I'm saying is, no matter if you're 60, 65, 70, 75, 80, 40, 40, you don't have to have knee pain. You don't have to have back pain. You don't, because you got people way older, 20, 30, 40, older than you, running marathons, jogging every day. What are they doing to where they don't have any pain, that they can do these things at their ages? And you're younger than these people are, and you're complaining about feet ache, joint pain, back aches, headaches. You have to sit down. You don't want to fall down because you can't get up. It's not so. You don't have to ache. You don't have to ache. You don't have to live with pain, especially at just because you're 50, you're 60, you're 70. You don't have to live with any pain. Your body doesn't have to ache at all. And if you are having pain, and a lot of people are, then it must be something you probably have done in your youth. And I've said this many times, whatever you do to your body when you're young, it's going to follow you as you get older. You smoke, it's going to follow you. You know, it's going to follow you as you get older. And then you're going to have, you know, there's always that heredity factor. If your family, someone in your family had diabetes, you're going to have it. If someone in your family shot themselves, you might shoot yourself or something. It might be some sort of gene in your biological makeup. Anyway, there's no clock that says as you get older, you have to suffer with pain. No way. No way. If I know there's people out here, older people, elder people, I mean, they're hurting all the time. They can't even walk down the street without pain. Their knees hurting, their back hurting. That doesn't have to be. And when you have pain, your legs hurt, your knees hurt, you don't always have to go to pain pills. You don't have to go dropping pills. Oh, my knees hurt. I got to take some medicine. You don't have to do that. You just, when you're getting prescriptions from your doctor for pain, he's treating the symptoms, not the overall problem. It means soon as it wears off, you're going to be hurting again. So, and then in some cases, just because you have pain doesn't mean that you need a pain pill to kill that pain. Sometimes all you need is vitamins. Vitamins can be just as effective as a pain pill. Because if your body is lacking vitamins, essential nutrients, your body can also break down, and that will cause some pain. So don't always feel that you got pain, you got to drop a pill. Go out and get you some vitamins. You know, talk to your doctor about vitamins. Maybe this is what it is, vitamin deficiency, because a lot of people don't know that if you vitamin deficient, you could be, you know, permanently in a wheelchair, you know, and talk to your doctor. You don't always have to buy medicine or get a prescription, because when you go to the doctor, most of the time when you go to a doctor, the first thing they're going to be thinking inside of their heads is writing you a prescription for drugs. They might not have told you yet, but that's what they're going to do. And just like I just got through saying, you'll be taking pills forever, and you don't have to. Try vitamins. They are just as good as any pill. And vitamins, think about it. Most vitamins, if any, have any side effects. because some of this medication that you might be taking, the side effects may kill you alone. And it's true. Try vitamins. And another thing is to kill pain, to get rid of pain, exercise. Even if you have to exercise through pain, do it. Because exercising through pain means at some point the pain is going to go away. If you're exercising through pain, it means that you're not used to your body going through that kind of a regimen. And it, for anybody to exercise, talk to your doctor, because you don't want to get out there and exercise. It could be life-threatening, but talk to your doctor. But for those who can exercise and doctors have gave them permission to get out there and move their body, do it. Do it. And you can eliminate pain without medication. A lot of people don't believe that. You don't want to get addicted to some pain medicine that's going to kill you, because they will. Those pain medication, those prescriptions that your doctor's writing you, they want to keep writing you those prescriptions because that's money in that doctor's pocket. Keeping you sick is profitable to the medical industry. Keeping you sick. That's why a lot of these physicians, doctors, whatever you want to call them, that's why they keep on prescribing you drugs for the symptoms, and not for getting rid of the disease altogether. Because most of us, when we're hurting, we want to get rid of whatever's hurting us permanently. We don't want to keep dropping pills. But if your doctor's just treating the symptoms of what you have, and they're going to, you know, readily and gladly write you a prescription, because they know that that's money in their pocket while you still sick and going to be sick. So think about it. Someone 80, 85 years old running a marathon, and you sitting at home saying that your legs hurt, your feet hurt, your stomach hurt, your back hurt, your arm hurt. And you're what? A lot younger? A lot younger? Give me a break. And you're taking pain pills. You're going to be taking pain pills for the rest of your life, because that's what the medical industry want you to do, because it's profitable for them to keep you sick, even if you die. So the thing is, keep yourself healthy. I mean, you can be healthy and pain free. And I'm not pushing anything. This is not a commercial. This is not some book or something, or some, I read this someplace. I mean, you're looking at it. I mean, you're actually listening to me. I know what I'm talking about because I've experienced it. I've gone through it. I'm not pushing a commercial. I'm not trying to push a product or anything. You know, I'm just saying, hey, wow. You know, because there's so many people out here who are hurting, literally, and they don't have to be. Anytime someone's 85 years old, runs a marathon and completes it, that's something. That should tell you something. That should tell you to get up and do something, right? Do something. You know, drop those prescription pills and start taking some vitamins. You know, if you feel sluggish, if you feel like you can't walk and you're hurting, take some vitamins. You know, I mean, you can take them, so many vitamins in one pill, or you can go out and get individual vitamins, vitamin D, vitamin E, B12, vitamin A, vitamin C. You could be vitamin deficiency is the reason for your pain, not necessarily dropping a pain prescription. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. This should explain it a little bit better. Listen to this guy.
New videos every day. Hi, this is Dr. Vince Balanzi. I want to talk to you about anti-aging. Now, we really don't have control of time. We can't turn the clock back. The years will pass. But do you know that so many things are blamed on age? It's not true. Let me give you an example. I was getting ready to run the Boston Marathon. And as we were all lining up in the areas of by time, we're walking up and there's a group of us. And there's this cute little old lady walking there. And we're just all amazed, all of us. There's several of us gathered around her. We come to find out it's her 80th birthday. She's about to run a marathon. And we're thinking just how amazing that is. And then we realize that there were other people that had fairly number of years had passed. And as we walked up and lined up, she happened to line up with me. Now, I thought I had a pretty good time, but here's this 80-year-old on her birthday going to run a marathon. She's going to run 26 miles. Well, I don't know if I beat her or not, but I do know that she was quite capable of doing it, and I have no doubt that she finished the race. That's what all of us should be capable of. There's no reason why at 80 years old you couldn't do that if you kept yourself in condition. So when I talk about anti-aging, I'm talking about not allowing the body to lose its function. That's really what it comes down to. It's not really the passage of time. Your body does not wear out. It regenerates itself. We know that the entire body can regenerate itself in a year. The liver and the lining of your stomach regenerate in days. So that with this turnover of cells, with this ability to regenerate, it's not like a lawnmower. Your body can maintain a reserve. Now, what do I mean by a reserve? When you're younger, you have this huge reserve, right? You can eat dirt. You can roll on the floor. You can fall down. It doesn't seem to faze you. We've got a big reserve. Your body regenerates easily. You're not hurt very easily. It's really hard for your body to get sick. It's because everything's working well. Well, as time passes, and especially if you don't take care, you lose that reserve. Then you start having symptoms. Symptoms that we want to blame on aging. But it's not aging. In a sense, it's neglect. If your joints hurt, if you've got all these allergies, if you've got a number of diseases, if you're stuck with a bunch of labels, most of them are a result of your lifestyle, if not all of them. Yeah. So you want to maintain that reserve. When we talk about anti-aging, we're talking about exerting that control, not letting that reserve disappear. We use several what are called biomarkers to determine how old you are. And it's different from using the number of years that have passed. We can look at lab work. We can look at how the body's operating. You can actually have a younger biological age than you have a physical or chronological age. So with a little bit of care, you can, in a sense, anti-age. Because if you keep your body healthy, if you work within the parameters the body can work with, if you keep it functional, you can keep it young. You can be that 80-year-old woman lining up to run a 26-mile race. Now, not that you necessarily want to run a marathon when you're 26 years old, but what if you could? What if you had the ability to run that far in a reasonable amount of time when you were over 80 years old? That's a possibility for everybody. Again, we want to blame things on age. It's not aging. Arthritis. Everybody wants to say when they get old, their joints hurt because of age. It's not age. It's the fact that the immune system is probably dysfunctional. There's a lot of swelling in the joints because of that. Perhaps there's been some damage to the joints and they weren't rehabbed correctly. You know, most people that think that they can't participate in some kind of activity can if they're conditioned. It's the weekend warrior that tears his knees apart. It's not the conditioned runner. And I don't care how old the runner is. It's about proper conditioning. It's about stability in the joints. It's about keeping that immune system functional. It's not the number of years, it's the abuse. The neat part of it is that you can turn that around. With some care, with some conditioning, with proper lifestyle, you can beat aging. You can not only live longer, but it's really more about the quality of your life. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about anti-aging, we can get into bioidentical hormones, which we work with a lot. We can get into neurotransmitters. We can get into exercise. We can get into all the things that I'm talking about as far as conditioning. And that's how you accomplish anti-aging. We'll take hormones, for example. Growth hormone. It's considered the anti-aging hormone. Most clinics that do anti-aging will look at growth hormone and supplement it if necessary. And most of the time, it is necessary. Your body's supposed to be able to make growth hormone until the day you die. It has the capacity to do so. But most of us, with time, decline in our production of it. So if you take the growth hormone from the outside in the right way, you can actually enhance your own production again. You know the other times that you make growth hormone? A good night's sleep, getting to that third stage of sleep. So get your sleep. You will make yourself some more anti-aging hormone. The other time is during intense exercise. Not so intense that you can't do it, but more intense than a walk to the mailbox. So exercise and sleep, and you'll make some growth hormone, and you'll be doing anti-aging. Now, in our clinic, we test levels of other hormones. We try to get the ratios correct, and we do, in a sense, practice anti-aging that way. Because if we can balance your hormones, not necessarily taking them back to levels you had when you were in your 20s, but just getting them balanced and enough there to do the job, you, in a sense, are anti-aging. You are stopping the process that we attribute to aging. Again, it's really a process of allowing the body to become dysfunctional. So you can practice anti-aging yourself. You can go to an anti-aging clinic, but it's really about how you treat your genetics and not the amount of time that they've been here. So please, if you want to learn more about anti-aging, you can go to our website, bewellrx.com. You can contact an anti-aging clinic where they can do some therapies. But it's not that there's a magic pill that will make you young. You're going to make yourself young by taking care of yourself. Have you ever noticed when you're active, when you get some exercise in, when you're eating right, you just feel better? That's what anti-aging can come down to. Getting the nutrients in, making the body functional, and making your biological age younger than your chronological age. So again, when we talk about anti-aging, we're really talking about building a reserve. I'm going to talk a little bit more about organ reserve because that's really the secret to anti-aging. If you have organ reserve, you tend not to have as many symptoms because your body takes a stress and you don't have a problem because of it. Let me give you an example. Somebody says a crossword to you. Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your boss, and you get a headache or you have to go lie down. That's not normal. You shouldn't be bedridden because somebody stressed you a bit. What's a normal reaction? You get the same stimulus and your response is just to let it roll off your back. That's a normal response. You can have that if you've got a reserve. Your body should not go into an alarm stage because of a small stress, even a large stress. When you're younger, you can usually handle stress better. A lot of people believe they're invincible, and then they come to think that their mortality has caught up with them as they age. The truth is their body's not as functional. They have less reserve. We work on building that reserve. But again, I've given you some ideas on how you can do that. Look at your diet. Are you eating things that allow your body to function better so that you have that reserve? So a little bit of stress can be contended with and not cause symptoms. Are you exercising? Because without activity, the body's not even going to make some of the things it takes to build that reserve. If you're not operating your body and allowing it to maintain the reserve and, in a sense, anti-age, then you're going to feel the effects of what you're calling aging. So you want to build that reserve through your lifestyle. The better you take care of yourself, the younger you will feel, and you will be biologically younger as well. That's anti-aging. Bioidentical hormones, to some extent, are helpful. When we talk about bioidentical hormones, it's no big secret. We're just trying to use something that's closer to what the body knows as a hormone. Rather than taking hormones from another animal, another animal's gland, we're trying to use things that more resemble what's in the body. That's all bioidentical hormones are. We also, when we're using the treatment of bioidentical hormones, we want to look at ratios, because if I adjust one hormone, I have adjusted every hormone. So if I'm not aware of the ratios, if I'm not aware of how I'm pushing another hormone by adding one, then I could get into more trouble than there was originally. So in doing bioidentical hormones, you want to make sure that you're addressing the right hormones and creating the right ratios so the body can function. That's it. It's no big secret. It's no problem that can't be surmounted. But the use of hormone balancing and perhaps neurotransmitter balancing, if we can look at how the body's operating and help it to operate better improved function, you've accomplished anti-aging.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
Feel good. That little laugh, it just tears me up. Anyway, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Once again, I want to thank my guests, the renowned Kelly Brown. She was just great. I got to get her this link to the show a little later on in the show. But anyway, we were talking about what? What were we talking? Oh, yeah. Aging. And I just love that. Because I just have to reiterate it again. I mean, there's no reason for older people, 60, 70, 80, to have pain. Because, you know, the body is not meant for that. It's, you know, it's just not. Oh, I got to sit down. My back hurts and my leg hurts and my knees are killing me. I got to hold on to the banister or I'm going to fall. Oh, I have fallen. I can't get up because it hurts when I try. No, you don't have to do that. No. There is no such thing as just because you're feeling pain, it means you're getting older. You're feeling pain because your body is not in the proper condition that it should be. That's why you're feeling pain. And exercise, when we say exercise, we're not talking about joining a gym, paying a $50, $100 gym membership. No, no way. I would never say that to anybody because you can always enjoy nature. Exercise. Well, the exercise that I'm talking about that I think a lot of people, older people should do is very, very simple. And it's fun and it's rewarding. It's walking. That's all you have to do is walk 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, hour. Especially out here in the beautiful weather, in the beautiful sunshine, spring, summer weather. You get to know your neighbors. They get to know you. You get to know people around the area. Plus you're exercising. Plus you, your body is getting healthier. Your legs are getting stronger. Your bones are getting tighter. And there's no doubt about it. When you're exercising, it also makes your brain work a lot better. It does. It does, because I'm a witness, because every time I exercise, you know, I get done with my hour exercise or longer each day, or I try each day, you know, I come to the computer and I can write my ass off. You know, I said, I'm thinking, you know, I thought I had writer's block. I don't have any more writer's block. I just got through exercising, lifting weights, walking around. I mean, you know, just being out and just smiling and thinking positive. And I can just write my ass off. If I'm hurting and I'm depressed and I'm feeling down, do you think I can go to the computer and write? No. If you think I'm stressed, no. Exercise is vital. Proper diet. I have been to so many doctors, and one doctors can tell you different things. Depends on the doctor you see. Even for the same symptom that you might have. That's why some people say, hey, get more than one doctor's opinion about what's wrong with you, to that effect. And it was one doctor who told me, and I've heard it from other doctors, and I do believe it. One doctor told me that it doesn't matter what you eat. You can eat anything you want to eat. You don't have to eat grass or lettuce or, you know, peanuts or flak or whatever, or cabbage or whatever to try to lose weight. You don't have to fruits or vegetables, you know, as it's been said before. Well, if you want to lose weight, you got to eat fruit, drink six glasses a day, six glasses of water a day, eat six things of fruit and vegetables a day, you know, and watch what you eat. Eat lettuce, eat, you know, crap. This doctor, the particular doctor, said, George, you can eat anything you want. It doesn't matter. Hamburgers, pizzas, hot dogs, donuts, candy. George, you can eat anything you want. But there's a catch. And you know what that catch is? You do it in moderation. Moderation. That's your diet. Is everything that you eat it in moderation. You portion it out. Instead of eating two slices of pizza, cut down to one slice. Instead of eating a whole donut, slice that donut in half and only eat half of it. Instead of drinking a whole glass of Coke, a cola, drink a half glass. It's all about portion. You portion it out. You can eat anything you want to do. Because there are a lot of people say, I can't eat no goddamn lettuce. No, I just cannot eat a bunch of peanuts. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get me a Big Mac. Yeah, get you a Big Mac, but slice it in half. Eat a portion of that Big Mac now and wait a couple of hours before you eat the other one. And you call it a day. I'm not trying to promote Big Macs. I'm just giving an example, okay, that you can eat anything you want. But if you want to eat healthy, you want to eat fruit and vegetables, go right ahead. You want to drink six or seven glasses of water a day, go right ahead. That's just part of the pyramid that's going to keep you healthy. And I always say to people, drink water instead of drinking Coke or orange juice. Water is a lot better. But I have actually known some people in my life, They didn't like water. You couldn't get them to drink water. They didn't like it. I couldn't believe there were people out here who do not like water. Drinking it. Probably don't don't like to bathe in it either. But anyway, there are people who are out here that I've known didn't like drink water. And I was drinking my ass off. I drank water like crazy. I guess they thought I was nuts. Look at George. He's drinking water. I don't want no goddamn water. You better give me some Kool-Aid. I guess a lot of people who do not like water, I'm pretty sure there's some people out there who do not like to drink water today. And their main complaint about water is that it's not sweet. There's nothing in it. That's their main complaint. That's why they go to sodas or orange juice or whatever. Anything with lots of sugar in it. But that's the purpose of water. The purpose of water is not to have anything in it. Water is one of the greatest nutrients that you can give to your body. But soda, I mean, in the years to come, I mean, diabetes, heart disease, gaining weight, water, there's nothing in it. That's what makes it so great. Water makes your skin glow. It makes you, if you drink enough of it for a significant amount of time, your skin will start to glow. Your attitude will become more positive. You will smile a lot. You will, you'll be a much nicer person. You know, water makes you, one of the things I hate about water, and I love water. I'm going to tell you the gripe I have against water. And I drink it a lot, and I will never stop drinking it. But one of the gripes that I have against water, that it makes you pee. I mean, you you really got to keep close to the bathroom if you're going to be drinking a lot of water, because, you know, you're going to leak. But, I mean, the benefits of water outweighs anything negative about it. The water is the best and greatest drink in the world. I mean, coffee, you know, that will harm you in the long run. Coffee. A lot of people are saying, well, coffee's good. Coffee's good for that. Coffee is sometimes garbage. And I'm not putting coffee down, because there every now and then I'll have a cup of coffee as I'm sitting in the studio talking to you. But I don't drink coffee every day like I used to. I've cut down on coffee. I might have it once a week, or I may not have it at all. But, you know, I'm going to drink coffee, but I'm going to do like the doctors say, in moderation. You do everything that you can in moderation. Eat what you want. You know, you don't have to give up your favorite meals. I was watching Dr. Oz the other day. They used to have they used to be really down on eating bread, but now Dr. Oz is saying, well, eat all the bread you want. Doesn't gluten and whatever. You know, he's controversial, but I'm just saying that, eat bread, but eat it in moderation. I mean, you don't want to eat too much garbage food, because what you're going to do, you're going to gain weight. And gaining weight put you at risk for diabetes. And there are so many people walking around in the world today, don't even know that they have diabetes, don't even know that they're getting the onset of diabetes. You know, so, and it's, and I hope this show can, you know, shed some light on it. But basically, older people, you don't have to ache with pain. If you're aching with pain, then it's something you're not doing, or if it's something that you've done in your younger days that's crossing over into your older days, something you've done when you're younger that's happening to you now that you're older. That happens. If you smoke cigarettes and you smoke drugs and you drank a lot, are you going to feel it when you get 60? Or 70, it's going to come back, even 50. But not if you decide you want to do the right thing. I mean, you could have heart disease, you can have cancer, you can have diabetes, all of these things can be reversed. Because the main killer, folks, the main killer is food and the lack of exercise. I should say killers. The main killers are food, too much food, of the wrong kinds of food, and the lack of being active. You get a certain age, you got to do, you got to be active just about every day. You have to get up and do something. You cannot lay around on the couch all day bitching and complaining about this and that, you know, getting in other people's business. You better get up there and get in your own business and start exercising, because like we discussed earlier, everybody's going to die. We're going to die. There's no way you're going to get out of this thing alive. We're all going to pass away. Everybody is going to, and you know, it balances itself out, because when one person dies, another person is born. You know, 2,000 people die, 2,000 people are born around the world. So it balances itself out, but we are going to die. Everybody's going to die one way or another. But if you know you're going to die, you'd rather die an old person than to die young. Because when you're old, when you're older, 60, 70, 80, it means that you've done something right in your life, because you're still around. You're still around. You've taken care of yourself. You've taken care of your body. You've gotten rid of stress. You've exercised. You've kept your body up. You've kept, you're a positive thinker. You drank a lot of water. You did the right thing. But I've heard some people say, who were 80, 90 years old, I've never exercised in my life, and I eat nothing but Big Macs and Whoppers and French fries with ketchup. And I'm, well, some people are lucky like that. But the majority of us, we have to take care of ourselves. If we want to live a long life, we have to take care of ourselves. If we don't take care of ourselves, you know, it's not going to happen. I mean, if someone is 65 years old, person been around a long time, you want to talk to that person. You want to find out why that person has lived so long. 85, 95, 105. You don't have to have knee pain, back pain, arthritis, any of that. Unless you haven't done the right thing with your body. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to take a break right here. We got about How many more minutes do we have in the show? Seven minutes. Okay. We're going to come back and let's see what we can do here. We've been talking about age, pain. And I'm going to talk about that throughout the show at some point. We're going to do this right now.
What keeps us healthy and happy as we go through life? If you were going to invest now in your future best self, where would you put your time and your energy? There was a recent survey of millennials asking them what their most important life goals were. And over 80% said that a major life goal for them was to get rich. And another 50% of those same young adults said that another major life goal was to become famous. And we're constantly told to lean into work, to push harder and achieve more. We're given the impression that these are the things that we need to go after in order to have a good life. Pictures of entire lives, of the choices that people make and how those choices work out for them, those pictures are almost impossible to get. Most of what we know about human life, we know from asking people to remember the past. And as we know, hindsight is anything but 20/20. We forget vast amounts of what happens to us in life, and sometimes memory is downright creative. But what if we could watch entire lives as they unfold through time? What if we could study people from the time that they were teenagers all the way into old age to see what really keeps people happy and healthy? We did that. The Harvard study of adult development may be the longest study of adult life that's ever been done. For seven.
All right, folks, here's some bad news. Trump care could really happen. It could really happen. It's scary. It's here. It's no more. It could happen. But we do still have Obamacare because the Senate hasn't acted on this yet. So it's still out there and it's still the law of the land. You can still use Obamacare. But I think after September 1st, 2017, the Senate gets a hold of this thing and they make a few changes. They vote on it and voila, Trump care. But I'm hearing that this is not going to happen. They're going to reject the bill, turn it down. But you know what? It's going to take the people to fight this, the people to protest, call their senators, call everybody that they know and protest this bill. Because 24 million people being thrown off thrown out of health care. I mean, you got people dying in the street. This is not right. This is not fair. And it's just, we got to do something about it, folks. We just can't sit back and let people die. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio and Facebook.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven never saw. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who's a crawl. Heaven help us all.
Good night. Okay. Goodbye. I hope you join me tomorrow. Bye-bye. Take care.